Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry presents Lessons from the School of Suffering. A young priest with cancer teaches us how to live. Written by Father Jim Willig with Tammy Bundy. Father Jim Willig courageously began to record this audiobook, but when the demands of cancer overwhelmed his strength, he asked his friend, Brian Patrick, to complete the reading. Brian touches our hearts as he finishes chapter 1 and continues reading this extraordinary journey of prayer.
Chapter 9, Classmates. Jesus said, "Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. One of the harshest realities about suffering is that it can close us off from people, even people we are close to. It can close us off from our family and friends. It can even close us off to ourselves. Sometimes we are embarrassed. We feel so bad and know we don't look our best either. We find it a struggle to want to be with other people when we don't feel well. Sometimes we don't want to be a burden to others. We don't like asking other people to help us when we know our requests and needs make extra work for someone. Sometimes we simply lack stamina. We don't feel like being with anyone because we just don't have the strength. We find it hard and sad to tell someone not to visit because we just do not have the energy to talk for even a few minutes. Sickness and suffering combine dangerously to isolate us from the very people who love and care for us the most. We suffering folks understand this need to be alone at times, but we must take care not to cut off the love of family and friends whom we need to get through difficult times. On the other hand, for some people, suffering can be the one thing that finally opens us up. Our hearts are broken open. In these cases, suffering opens us to new depths within ourselves, depths never before realized. Suffering leads us to deeper levels of our inner lives. Pain and suffering also have the potential to open us up to other people who share similar problems and pain. Sometimes, our suffering connects us in odd circumstances, like many different pieces of a puzzle that by themselves do not make sense, but when connected, enable us a better look at the bigger picture. This is what happened among my fellow patients during chemotherapy treatments each week. Sitting together with our intravenous tubes, dripping chemo into our bodies, we began to share our similar stories. It soon became obvious that we were connected by much more than IV tubing. We shared our common concerns, questions, and frustrations. I began to listen and learn so much from my fellow patients. They became my classmates in this school of suffering. We were in this thing together, and together we could offer each other the hope and help that few other people could. Even more than that, we have promised to pray for each other every day. In fact, I keep a personal prayer intention list with the names of many of my new friends in need, as well as others who have asked for my prayers. This is truly one of the best ways we can help each other, to pray for each other. This is how I have learned that compassion is one of the deepest gifts of the heart. The word compassion means, literally, to feel deeply with. Feel deeply with is what we did in that chemotherapy classroom with our IVs attached to us, incredibly representing the cross of cancer we had all been asked to carry. I indeed looked at my chemo companions to be like classmates. Regardless of our age, circumstances in life, or even the type or degree of our cancers, we were all in the same class. We were asking similar questions while dealing with similar struggles. All of us were just trying our best to get through this hard course, hoping someday to graduate and move on in good health. I listened and learned much from my classmates. I became deeply inspired by their struggles, tremendously uplifted by their little victories, and yet terribly upset by their setbacks. There is a definite class spirit that can be felt in this classroom of life's struggles. The spirit seemed to be very close to the Holy Spirit, who is the strength of the weak and the hope of the poor. Recent research has shown that when people share common struggles and come together in some effort to support and share in time of trial, it can provide a level of healing and help that no other expert can give. Perhaps one of the many lessons I have learned from my classmates is not that it is necessary to share with everybody all of our problems and pain, but rather that we share our struggles and joys with those we find in the same classroom as us. Another major lesson I have learned from my fellow classmates is how to look and listen to the subtle signs of suffering. Few people will wear their disease or disability like a badge or name tag, but you can't miss its identification written in the painful eyes of those who are hurting. My suffering opened me up to recognize how many, many people are hurting, quietly crying, privately pain, or secretly suffering. This hurt, this pain can be physical, emotional, relational, or even spiritual. I feel genuine empathy for my fellow classmates more than I ever could have if I had not suffered along with them. I carry no illusion that I can or even should try to alleviate their pain and help them solve their problems. Most people in these situations don't need more advice. They just need someone to listen and care. Imagine the shape of each of your ears. If you were to join these two shapes together, you would have a perfect heart. The best way to share that heart, to love someone, is to listen to him or her. Many times after listening to my classmates, when I didn't know what to say or do, I would simply ask if I could offer a prayer for them. This is something we can all do for each other. Even though we may not know how to help someone, we can always be confident that God knows how to help the person. Through my encounters with others who are suffering, I could feel my heart of compassion stretching and growing along with my desire to help others like myself who carry such a heavy cross. One of my actual joys during my enrollment in the School of Suffering is found in many loving cards and notes from so many friends as well as people I have never met. I am always so touched when they share with me that somehow my struggle has encouraged them in their own struggle. The truth is, that is the main reason I wanted to write this book, to share some of the lessons I have learned in the School of Suffering in the hope that they might, in some way, help others who are suffering. I learned this lesson from a saintly man I consider my spiritual father, Cardinal Joseph Bernardin, who ordained me when he was Archbishop of Cincinnati. The close tie that I have felt with Cardinal Bernardin goes back even farther and deeper. Soon after I was ordained a priest, a young religious sister offered me wonderful advice when she suggested, "If you want to be a great priest, identify someone whom you consider to be a great priest. Then get as close to him as you can. Observe and learn as much as you can from him. And hopefully, his goodness will rub off on you." In my mind and heart, I immediately identified then Archbishop Joseph Bernardin. I was blessed to become close to him and learn from him. The greatest lesson he would teach me came later in life when he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and wrote his beautiful book, The Gift of Peace. That witness of his suffering and how he dealt with it has been a source of great consolation in my own struggle with cancer. Although I consider him a classmate in this school of suffering, he is definitely at the head of the class, teaching us not only how to live, but also how to die. The sister's advice is good advice for us all. We can all benefit by identifying someone whom we deeply admire and respect. Then, if we try to get as close to them as possible and listen and learn from them, we will become more like them. Among these greatest role models we can choose from are the saints. I have loved reading about the lives of the saints and have benefited greatly from doing so. I have discovered one common denominator among all the saints. Every one of them suffered a lot. If we read about saints and share in their suffering, they will teach us so much. Indeed, it would be sad if we failed to learn from our classmates, both past and present. My memory will be forever filled with the mental yearbook of the faces of my brothers and sisters in suffering. While I couldn't possibly write about them all here, they will all forever be written in my mind and heart. There is my good friend Bob from my parish. He He found out 6 months before my diagnosis that he had brain cancer. I marveled at the sense of humor he maintained in his class of suffering. I admired his faith that carried him through the rough journey of his brain tumor. After a year and a half of suffering with him through his treatments, he continues to laugh, even though his cancer has affected his mind and memory. Then there is Joyce, a middle-aged woman who has cancer for the second time. One day during our shared chemotherapy time, she came up to me and introduced herself. She shared with me that every day she prays for me, and she carries my photo in her purse as a reminder to pray for me. I was so touched that this loving woman I had never before met was praying for me. She radiates an inner joy. Also among my classmates is Father Bill Crumpy. This fellow priest and friend of mine was diagnosed with cancer at the same time as I was. We prayed for each other. Happily, we were comforted by the news that his cancer had gone into remission, but tragically, the cancer came back with a vengeance, and Father Bill died suddenly. His death touched me deeply because for the first time, I could see myself alongside him. Unfortunately, that is one of the harshest realities I have learned from my classmates in the School of Suffering. This course does not go on forever. Some of my fellow classmates have died. In this way, their deaths have been a graduation for them, as well as their ultimate healing. During the beginning of my cancer journey, one of my closest friends, who is also my tennis partner, came down with a sickness. When John Dugan called to tell me he was in the hospital, we joked about how competitive he was, keeping up with my unfolding drama. But just when it appeared that John was going to beat his first sickness, a second one set in, threatening his lungs. Then we knew this was very serious. In my last conversation with him, even though I had no idea it was to be my last, I shared with John some of the lessons I had been learning in this school of suffering. The biggest lesson I shared was that suffering has the potential to bring us closer to the Lord and teach us more about life than anything else. I was inspired to hear 1 week later that John had shared all of this with his family and how his attitude had changed about his sickness. Everyone noticed how John had started giving thanks to God for his suffering because of the effect it was having on purifying his soul. I understand now that God let him have the accelerated course in the School of Suffering in order that he would learn it all so well and so fast. Still, I cried when I heard that John had died. I cried for the hole in my heart, left empty, that used to be filled with this friend. But mostly, I cried for John's wife and 3 small preschool-age children. When one of John's little boys would later ask me why God took his daddy before he could say goodbye to him, I had to answer that I just didn't know. Some things we will never understand this side of heaven. John's death and the deaths of some of my other classmates continually invite me to think about my own inevitable death. Of course, those thoughts of death are unusual for someone in their 40s, but not for someone with terminal cancer. There have been several times when I thought that my death might be imminent. Each of these times, this idea of death seemed to come to me suddenly, no matter how long I may have been thinking about it. I have tried to think of death in terms of attaining my greatest goal of being one with God and reaching heaven, but like they say, everyone wants to get to heaven, but no one wants to die. Without a doubt, death is the ultimate surrender of one's life to God. What comforts me is to pray about death. There is a natural fear of the unknown, but prayer helps assure us of what Scripture promises. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10. I have always enjoyed life and love my priestly ministry, so it is natural that I have always imagined and hoped that God would bless me with a long and productive life working for the Lord. In one of my meditations on death, however, I realized, why should I argue if God wants to give me an early retirement? With that in mind, I pray as some of the great saints prayed, that God may use me even more after death than He has on earth. When my doctor first informed me that I might have only a year to a year and a half to live, it forced me to face death whether I wanted to or not. This led me to pray, Lord, if I only have a year to live, I want it to be my best year yet. Then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I set three goals for the rest of my life. Love God as much as possible. Help others love God as much as possible. Love others as much as possible. This simple exercise has helped me learn and stay focused on my greatest mission in life, no matter how long or short that life may be. We all need to ask ourselves that question. What would you do if your doctor informed you that you had only 1 year to live? Get another doctor? If we do this, we can then be open to discovering the secret to living the fullest life possible. It's interesting to point out that my meditations on death have surprisingly not been morbid. In fact, they have focused my attention and energy on living life to the fullest. As such, it raises the importance of giving my greatest attention and priority to my spiritual life, my immortal soul. We are made up of body, mind, and soul. Of all these, the soul is the most important part of us. While the soul is the most important part of our being, it is ironically the most neglected. We spend so much of life caring for our bodies. We spend so much time taking care of our mind. But many times, we completely ignore the very core and innermost part of us, the soul. Suffering invites us to closely examine our soul. It could both purify and fortify our soul. Suffering sifts out all of the impurities that are not of God's love. Scripture explains this by saying, I will refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. Zechariah 13, verse 9. When those who suffer allow their pain and struggle to purify them in this way, they will reach an amazingly higher place of union with God. Even as our minds and bodies suffer, weaken and sometimes deteriorate, our souls can grow and flourish. But this flourishing cannot be achieved unless we are first emptied of ourselves. It is human nature to be full of ourselves. But there will be no room for the Holy Spirit unless we empty out what doesn't belong. It is imperative that we first be emptied in order for our souls to be filled with God. This is what can happen in the school of suffering if you are open to the lessons being taught, and this very well could be the greatest lesson of our lives. It's up to us to learn it now. God knows when our graduation will be. Lessons. Suffering can close you off from other people and yourself. Suffering can connect you to others who suffer. The Lord allows us to suffer so that we can develop our souls. Death is the way to eternal life. That should be the goal in our life. The saints in heaven and on earth are the best role models for us, especially for dealing with suffering. Assignment. Look and listen to the subtle signs of suffering. Grow in compassion and reach out to those who are hurting. Identify someone you admire. Get close to the person. Listen and learn from him or her. Pray that this person's goodness rubs off on you. Answer the question, what would I do if I had only 1 year to live? Read about the lives of the saints and learn from these great teachers. Prayer. Peace prayer attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Heart to Heart welcomes you back next week for another inspiring chapter from Lessons from the School of Suffering. If you are interested in purchasing a copy of the full recording of this audiobook, either on CDs or through digital download, or a print copy of the book, or other resources available through Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry, please visit our website, www.htoh.us. There, you can sign up to receive more inspiring content delivered to your inbox. Or call us toll-free at 1-877-208-4875 with any prayer requests you have or other help you may need. And please, as always, keep us in your prayers as well. Donations of any size are also greatly appreciated to help support this ministry. This audio recording is copyrighted 2023 by Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry. Thank you for listening, and may God bless your heart and the hearts of all of your loved ones.